So we are less than 10 days away from Christmas. The shops are crowded, decorations are everywhere, and the neighbors compete every year to win the council's best decorated house prize. I wonder if anyone here has entered. Anyone competed? Not yet. Yesterday, my wife and I joined the Manningham City Christmas carols at Trophy Lake in Doncaster East, and there was a huge crowd. You know what I loved most about it? That the born Savior alone can unify people from every nation. I'm sorry, I knew yesterday that the winter carols were canceled because of the bad weather. I hope they can reschedule. Otherwise, you get your funds. This kind of celebration reminded me of the thousands on the mountainside and how Jesus fed them with 5 loaves and 2 small fish. This was the first thought that just jumped to my mind yesterday, and I shared this with Rehab. Oh, wow. How did Jesus fed thousands? Like, of course, everything were available there, the food, drinks, and everything. We didn't need America. I also thank God that Australia still maintains some connection to its Christian heritage. This thing we need to keep praying for it, right? Anyway, at Christmas, we tend to focus on the famous, well-known characters. Mary, Joseph, the shepherds, the wise men with gifts, the camels, Zechariah, and of course, the baby in the manger. This morning, I would like to highlight an unknown character, an unsung hero, another unsung hero who usually remains hidden in the shadow of Simeon. She was an 84 years old widow whom scripture mentions in just 3 verses. Her name is Anna. But in these 3 verses, the Holy Spirit shows us a powerful picture of perseverance, patience, and endurance. What Anna did can transform your view of Christianity today, and may help you celebrate Christmas this year in a different way, a real celebration that transforms your life. Let me read these verses again from Luke chapter 2, 36 to 38, and I read it from NIV. There was also a prophet or prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem or the redemption of Israel. Her faithfulness. Anna's story isn't flashy. She wasn't in the spotlight. She performed no miracles. No multitudes followed her. Rather, she spent about 60 years as a widow in the temple courts, worshiping, praying, fasting, and waiting. Think about this. She married young, as was the custom in those days, perhaps between 12 and 14 years old, maybe. 7 years later, her husband died, leaving her alone at a young age in a society where there was no protection for widows. tragedy. No pension, no social security, no real chance of remarrying, and it's clear she hadn't any children. Was she barren, not able to give babies or children? If so, this would have added immensely to her burden. But what captures our attention is that Anna had no bitterness or grudge. This doesn't mean it was easy for her, but by God's grace she surrendered herself, believing in God's goodwill, and finding her security in His providence. Luke tells us she never left the temple. This doesn't mean she literally lived there in the temple, that wasn't permitted. It means the temple, the house of God, or rather God Himself, was the center of her life. Worship wasn't a hobby for Anna, nor just a ritual or a way to pass time. It was her life and her breath. And this didn't last for 1 or 2 years or even a decade. It lasted more than 60 years. Every time I come to preach God's word to Wyndham congregation, it's both a real encouragement, inspiring when I see a dedicated teamwork works together in one spirit for God's glory, really. Amazing consistency and commitment. And when you look at the roster, you can tell 14, 13, 15, names are committed and well prepared to help to do the service every Sunday. I'm sure there are other names not written in here or mentioned in here, I'm sure. So this is very encouraging. Keep doing, and I am encouraging everyone to have his name or her name written in these rosters. And I'm sure the elders will help to do this. Let this takes us to the second point about Anna, her dedication. What does Anna's faithfulness mean, practically and honestly? She remained committed, disciplined, and faithful in all she did when no one was watching, no one was applauding. And she saw no visible results from what she was doing, right? She kept praying fervently for Israel's redemption year after year, while all of Israel suffered under Rome's occupation. But she never gave up. She continued worshiping, praying, and fasting in the temple, even when the temple was corrupted by the priests' hypocrisy and their religious pretense. But this didn't upset her, stumble her, or tempt her to feel like a failure. She continued. And this is the real test of genuine faith, isn't it? Do you keep praying even when it looks like there are no answers? Do you keep serving even when no one notices or appreciates what you do? Do you remain believing and enduring even when others fail or mock your hope? Do you? So many of us start our faith journey very enthusiastically. We are on fire. I'll pray an hour every day. I will finish reading the Bible by 31st of December 2026. I will witness to everyone I meet. I will serve till my last breath. I will glorify my Lord with all my heart. I will do that. And then life happens, prayer becomes more difficult. Worship becomes just routine or a burdensome religious ritual. Bible reading plans collapse by February. And we ask, is this all there is? Have you noticed that Anna was identified as a prophet, prophetess? In scripture, prophets weren't just people who predicted the future or performed miracles. They were people who lived in intimate relationship with God. In this sense, we all can be prophets somehow. They spoke God's word faithfully and bravely. Most of them were rejected and persecuted. Others were killed or neglected, like Anna. Anna's ministry wasn't built on dramatic revelations, but on decades of deep relationship with the living God through daily worship and intimacy. She didn't just know about the God of Israel, she knew the God of Israel. She believed his word and waited for his promises to be fulfilled. Regarding the consistency and to be consistent in something, though, you know, we all are consistent somehow in many things. Myself and my wife, sometimes we together, I don't know how many related to lose the remote control or showing up late. I don't know how many, or lose the keys of the car. Anyone human here? Angels? Yeah. We stayed last night at our dear friends Nagib and Manal's house. And in the morning, they headed up early to the church of their son. He's a minister, Andrew. I'm sure many here know him very well. And after that, we couldn't find our car keys. We looked everywhere. We searched their house. And we actually looked in places we expected to find the keys and in places we didn't expect to look there. Everything. We searched their car, but we didn't find the keys. And finally, we decided to take permission of ourselves to take their car, which was parking, thank God, not in the garage. And we took their car and we came here. So this is why we came late today. But this is because they are very consistent in generosity, Nagib and Manal, and serve with their hearts. Really, they are this. Dedication, not dedicated to lose things or any bad things. Don't be like us, be better. I'm sure you are better. And here comes her recognition. Now watch what happened. After 6 years of faithful waiting, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to the temple for ritual purification. We can read about these purifications in Leviticus chapter 12. Simeon, guided by the Holy Spirit, recognized Jesus and spoke his amazing prophecy about him and his redemptive mission. And at this exact moment, Anna appears. Listen to what Saint Luke wrote. Coming up to them at that very moment. Do you see the sovereignty of God here? For 60 years, Anna had been waiting, praying, fasting, and asking for her people's redemption. And here God orchestrated her life and all the circumstances around her and around her life and around Simeon's life and the baby Jesus' life and Mary and Joseph's life so that she would be in exactly
the right place at exactly the right time to see with her own eyes his amazing answer to 60 years of prayers. Anyone shout hallelujah? Pray the Lord? Anyone? Of course, the picture wasn't clear or complete. She saw just a 40-day-old baby. No miracles yet. No teachings, no crucifixion, no resurrection, no glorification, no multitudes following Jesus, just a little poor, weak baby in the arms of his poor parents. That's all what she saw. But Anna recognized him. Why? Because she was lost in God's love, rooted in his word, tuned to the voice of God, waiting faithfully, patiently, to the point that when the Savior came in swaddling cloth, her spiritual eyes were open to see. This is the fruit of faithfulness and dedication, spiritual recognition. When you walk with God for decades, the Spirit develops eyes that see what everyone else may miss. On that day, Anna could have been staying at home because of maybe bad weather, crowded streets, I don't know. Or she could have given up years before. But she was there waiting for Jesus exactly where she should be because she had been faithful when nothing seemed to be happening. And here comes her response. Notice Anna's dual response: worship and witness. First, she gave thanks to the Lord. Before rushing to do anything else, she worshiped. Even at 84 years of age, after a lifetime of waiting, the first thing she did was to praise, to thank, to express her gratitude. Not finally, not it is about time, but a heart overflowing with worship to the God who keeps his promises. That is the heart of someone who has been trained to trust in God and his perfect timing. This is a precious lesson we should learn from Anna. I need this lesson. God never comes late, never comes early. He always comes in his time, and his timing is perfect. I will repeat this again because my wife asked me to repeat it. And this is another kind of consistency, to obey your wives. God never comes late, never comes early. He always comes in his time. Anna didn't complain about the waiting. Rather, she celebrated the fulfillment. What happened next? She spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem or Israel. She became an evangelist at 84-year-old. Wedu became one of the very first preachers of the gospel. She told everyone about the Messiah who had come. Think about that. She was telling people about whom? About a little baby. Nothing was remarkable about him yet. No miracles to prove anything. No impressive teaching to quote. She did this with such a strong conviction, with such a great joy and confidence, that Luke recorded it for eternity. That is real biblical evangelism at its core. We sang, "Speak, O Lord, And the Lord is singing, speak, O my people. Now, I would like to add a few more lessons. First, your faithfulness is in obscurity matters to God. Some of you may feel invisible. You may do the same ministry for years, whatever your ministry is, inside the church or outside in the community, in your family or neighborhood. Maybe you still join the small Bible study group or the small prayer meeting or prepare food for the church or the homeless, and you are wondering if what you do matters. Anna's answer is, yes, it matters. God sees you and knows what you are doing. He appreciates your ministry and prepares and equips you to grow and to be more effective for His glory. Don't underestimate your faithful moments or the faithful little things you do for God's kingdom. This is what we learn through this series on unsung heroes. Don't worry if no one recognizes what you do. The important thing is that God knows and values you and your efforts. And second, spiritual disciplines help you stand for the long term. Anna's worship, prayers, and fasting weren't exhausting obligations, but practices that provided life and power. If you are looking for emotional highs or entertaining spiritual experiences, you will run out of energy very fast. We need something stronger than fluctuating emotions. We need to stick with the Bible reading and study even when we are busy or tired. These are the tools that God uses to keep our hearts humble, our hope alive, and our eyes open to see Him and to see His work. Third, redemption is worth waiting for. Anna waited decades to see the redemption of Israel begin. 60 years, remember that. Most of us can't wait 60 minutes in the emergency room. We hope it's only 60 minutes or even 2 hours. I am willing to wait for this. A friend of mine waited 5 hours yesterday just to be told in minutes that he had an infection and needed antihistamines. Another friend literally waited 12 hours. So we wait for things. But here is the thing, the redemption, the salvation, God's plans, God's answers are worthy for even long waiting. Because we wait for better things and for glorious things. It wasn't just what Anna was waiting for, not a political redemption from Rome. It was spiritual freedom from the bondage of sin, reconciliation with God, salvation for all who believe. Remember, Anna was from the tribe of Asher. Did you notice that? Why does Luke bother telling us that? Well, Asher was one of the 10 tribes that made up the northern kingdom of Israel after Israel split in two when Solomon died. These 10 tribes got scattered and ended up mixing with non-Jewish people. And the Jewish down south in Jerusalem looked down on them. But here is Anna, right there in the temple, worshiping and waiting. This tells us that God never gave up on them, on the lost 10 tribes of Israel. Through Christ, He is bringing the whole kingdom back together, gathering the scattered ones, healing the divisions, and bringing all God's kids back home into one family. When you wait on God, expect that God works in everything for the good of those who love him. This is Romans chapter 8, verse 28. The fourth lesson, you're never too old or too ordinary to be used by God. Anna was 84, a widow, without a platform or obvious position. She didn't have a theological degree, and yet God used her. And these three verses about her still inspire and transform the lives of millions. And by the Holy Spirit, these three verses can transform your life right now. You are not too old to be useful for God's kingdom. You are not too young either. Don't wait for the perfect time. Now is the perfect time. You make it the perfect time. Let me close with a modern day Anna. A story that reminds me, literally, Anna, the Anna of Luke. There was an elderly Chinese woman who came to this beautiful country decades ago. She spoke little English, like myself, had no education, I got some, worked in a factory, and lived in a small flat, small apartment. Flat, this is British, right? Apartment is Aussie. Apartment, right? The same. Okay. But you don't care. A small place. But every morning at 5 a.m., without fail, she would pray. She kept a notebook full of names, children, grandchildren, neighbors, co-workers, and she would pray through that list systematically. People in her family and church knew she prayed, but she was quiet about it. No one made a fuss. She was just there, faithfully, year after year. When she died in her late 80s, her family found 47 prayer notebooks spanning four decades. Thousands of names, thousands of requests recorded, written in these 47 notebooks. And as they went through them, they began to realize so many of those prayers had been answered. Children had come to faith. Marriages had been restored. People had been healed. Missionaries had been sustained. Most of it happened quietly, without her ever knowing. But God knew. And for sure, 100%, when she arrived at her eternal home, she also knew. And heaven recorded every prayer that obscure faithful woman prayed in her tiny flat before dawn while the rest of the world slept. Tell me about every morning fight with the blanket to wake up. Anna teaches us that the Christian life isn't about being spectacular, it's about being faithful. It's not about burning bright for a moment, it's about burning steady for a lifetime. It's not about decorating a tree every 12 months, but to be that tree that is fruitful every day. It is not about being seen by people, it is about being devoted to God. The question isn't whether you all have a dramatic story to tell. The question is, will you be faithful today? Will you pray today? Will you worship today? Will you believe today? Do that today, now, and tomorrow, and the day after that, for as many days as God gives you. And when your moment comes, and it will come, you will be exactly where God wants you, with eyes open to see what He's doing, and a heart ready to worship and witness to His goodness. May we all learn from Anna to be faithful in the waiting, devoted in the obscurity, and ready when our moment comes. Let us pray. Our Lord Jesus, thank you for Anna. Thank you for your work in her life. Help us to be like Anna, faithful in the hidden places, patient in the waiting, and ready to worship and witness when you reveal yourself. Give us enduring heart that trust your perfect timing, and may our lives glorify you in obscurity or recognition. In your precious name we pray. Amen.